Hi, I'm Alana Justin from Motive Black, and you're listening to today's Boondoggle.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to this intro before the intro of our today's Boondoggle radio show. As you know, we're a veteran-owned and operated podcast, and this has been an incredibly therapeutic journey for me as a veteran that struggles with PTSD and anxiety, just getting out and talking to people. But it does cost us some money, so if you feel so obliged to donate to our GoFundMe, we have a GoFundMe under Today's Boondoggle. We also have a Venmo at Today's Boondoggle that you can donate to. Our anchor sponsorship at anchor.fm/today's boondoggle. Any questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, you can email us at todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. And please follow us on our social media sites at Today's Boondoggle on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all your social media platforms, as well as our YouTube channel, our Rumble channel, and our BitChute channel. Please follow, subscribe, comment, and download. And please consider checking out our sponsors. If you support our sponsor, Dream Nutrition, you can receive 10% off your order by using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. So Dream Nutrition, they're a veteran-owned and operated company as well, so please support them. And receive 10% off using the promo code BOONDOG10. Thanks for your time, and thanks for listening.
The wait is over. The pinnacle of rock festivals in America, Sonic Temple Art and Music Festival, is back at the heartbeat of rock, historic Crew Stadium in Columbus, Ohio, with the Foo Fighters, Tool, the return of Avenged Sevenfold, Kiss, Godsmack, Rob Zombie, Deftones, Queens of the Stone Age, Chevelle, Falling in Reverse, Pussifer, Beartooth, I Prevail, Jawbreaker, Sublime with Rome, and more. Over 75 bands. We can't wait to see you at Sonic Temple Memorial Day weekend, May 25th through the 28th. Passes are on sale now at sonictemplefestival.com for only $10 down. Foo Fighters, Tool, Avenged Sevenfold, Kiss, the biggest weekend of rock at the best stadium in rock, Sonic Temple Art and Music Festival. We're coming home.
Tommy Beck, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
This is Mark Metcalf, and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio.
You are listening to Today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio. Yes, Cato Kalin listens to this all the time.
Welcome to Today's Boondoggle. Now, here's your host.
Monty Heath, so Warren Heath, and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Hey, what's up? It's John from Skillet, and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with Today's Boondoggle. And real quick housekeeping note, if you're watching us on YouTube or you're watching us on Rumble or BitChute, please hit that follow and subscribe button. And if you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple or Google or any of the podcast platforms, please hit that follow and subscribe button. Help us build up our numbers so we can continue to bring you conversations like the one I'm about to have right now. We're talking with the Gothic Outlaw herself, Devorah. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, it's good to catch up. As we were talking a little bit before we went on the air, you know, when you came through Cleveland and did that Beachland Ballroom event, we got to spend some time together. But
usually when I have somebody on the show for the first time, I like to get a quick background. So, like, do you remember originally what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, my gosh. I always wanted to be a musician since I could talk, sing. That was always the dream. So
nice. And yeah. What do you remember? Like, what was it that kind of attracted you back in childhood to this?
I, as early as I can remember, I was always like playing songs on instruments or singing, and I was just naturally drawn to it, really.
Nice. And then, like, as you started growing up and going to school, when did you start, or like, when did you decide to like pick up playing guitar and really taking it serious?
I'd say about middle school, I started to mess around with the guitar and started writing songs and short stories and poems. So that's kind of when it all started.
Nice. And then were you involved in like music programs at school and stuff?
Yeah, I was in like chorus and like all the band stuff. And I would go home from school and just, you know, not do my homework and write, write music. Came up before everything. So,
and do you remember like what kind of like artists like were early influences on you?
I listened to a lot of like, I remember Nine Inch Nails was like one of my favorite artists that I really like resonated with. So that was kind of the, but then I loved like, oh my gosh, I loved country music. I loved Johnny Cash. Like, I loved rock music. I loved emo. Like, these are all kind of things I grew up with. And then eventually they just ended up blending them together kind of in one genre.
Nice. And then, like, when was it that you actually started playing, like, you know, forming a band and playing with others?
I'd say high school, really around the first time. That's when I started getting out on stage and playing live.
And do you remember like recall any of like the early band names? I always like hearing the high school names that everybody thought were like the best ever, but
I know, right? Today. It was always just kind of like, it was always like a lot of it was mostly just solo stuff, so it was just me, like Ariel Levitan. Oh my gosh. I had one in like freshman year high school called The Creeps. I thought that was the coolest band name back then, but
nice. And then like, when did, you know, you kind of start picking up like, you know, the image that it, you know, evolved into, what you have today with Devorah?
So I just like my love of country music. I loved country music and I loved like industrial, like goth emo music. And I had always kind of wanted to hear country music that was sounded like that, captured some of the angst that I wanted to hear in like the rock music. So I kind of wanted to do something that was a blend of both. And and that's kind of how it was born.
Nice. And then so like when did you know, you it really start becoming like a thing for you that this was like, okay, now we're, you know, we're serious, let's start building a name and reputation and getting out there?
I'd say in high school. I ended up in high school like right before college was when you know, I decided to move to LA and just kind of dive in. So
nice. And then so you come out to LA and then you start networking, and then like when was Devorah like officially born?
Yeah, so I was writing for a lot of other artists and for film and TV. I was doing a lot of sessions, and probably about a few years after I got here, that's when I mean, I had been writing for this project for, you know, since high school, but it started to like take shape and stuff about a few years into moving here. So.
And I'm always curious about names. Like I was, you know, questioning about the high school band name, but like, what was the inspiration behind this name?
So it's actually my middle name.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if there was some kind of like other meaning behind it or whatever, but.
Oh my gosh, my dog, hold on 1 second. My dog is like crying. I'm gonna, 1 second. All right. Okay, sorry about that.
No problem.
So
that the band name's your middle name. And then, you know, you guys start becoming, you know, getting involved in the music scene there in LA, start building a name for yourself. And then, when was it that, you started catching the eye of labels and.
So it was pandemic, actually. We started shopping for a record deal, and that's when, I got signed to the label I'm on right now. And, so that was only 2 years ago.
Okay. So it was during the pandemic. Cause that was what I was going to ask. So many musicians, everything, you know, they already had things in line, tours scheduled and everything, and everything got shut down, and then they're stuck with boxes of merch and all that stuff. But what did you guys have going on, and what did you end up doing during that time? And obviously you still were able to get signed.
Yeah. No, very grateful. Very grateful. And I use that time to write a ton of music and really, you know, create a ton of visuals and dive into that. So I'm really grateful for that time, you know?
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people say it, they use that time to definitely tap into their creative side and write more. And it was pretty therapeutic, helped them deal with, you know, the uncertainty of everything that was going on.
Yeah, in the world. Definitely was very therapeutic for sure. I'm grateful to have had music as an outlet during that time for sure. And I know a lot of other musicians are too. Or did. Yeah.
And then, you ended up, catching the eye of our mutual friend, Renee. And how did that,
that's so funny. I met Renee through some, you know, it's such a small industry, music, and I met him through some mutual friends in LA, and we started working together, and and so he was really instrumental in getting me my deal. So
yeah, Renee and me became friends actually via this podcast. He was a guest on here, and
awesome.
We connected that way, and he's, you know, opened up so many doors for me. Dude, I call him the Kevin Bacon of music, because he knows where he connected with everybody.
Yeah, dude, it's so true. He's great.
And you know, speaking of which, it's I remember when we met, you had another mutual friend, Dan working with you guys, Dan Garland and stuff. Combination come together.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That came through Renee. They knew each other from recovery. And so, I was basically introduced to Dan from Renee. So.
Okay, great. Yeah. That's how I became friends with them too.
Yeah,
part of that same tribe, you know.
Yes.
So you got to kind of work with them, and then what's some of the other being new, because you said you've only been 2 years now, I guess, with the label and getting out there and
in the
industry. What kind of guidance and lessons have you learned, you know, along the way?
Oh, I could write a novel about it. to trust my gut, to always trust my gut. That's like a big one to, you know, like your gut really knows the truth about people, about situations, and to just always trust that if you can't, you know, listen to anything else. And
yeah, true. That goes with it, like everything in life for sure.
Definitely. And staying true, you know, it's cliche, but staying true to your artistry. You know, if you have something really cool that you're doing and you just stick with it and persist, like it will get recognized, as opposed to following the trends and just kind of copying what's already out, you know?
Oh, that's great too. And you know, I see that with this project. It's like, it's definitely something that's not really already out there. So you are following your own, you know, your own artistic vision. And, you know, it seems to be, you know, paying off, you know, staying the course and just staying true to yourself. I mean, you guys are getting ready to go on the road now with Bush. So, obviously it's catching some eyes and going to catch a lot more eyes on this tour for sure. How excited are you about this opportunity?
I'm really excited. I'm really grateful for this opportunity because I know it's really hard for artist to tour now, so I'm really grateful to be able to do this. And I'm excited. I've never played venues this large before, so I'm really excited to get out there.
I'm excited for you guys. I remember, like I said, I got to catch you guys at the Beachland here, which is kind of a smaller venue, but the crowd was really into you guys, and it was definitely good to see you. And I think I shared with you, you know, that you know, I got two daughters, and my oldest like wants to be a singer and everything too. So it's like, I'm excited. I'd like to really want to bring them to the show so they can see you up there and perform.
Yeah, please. Oh my gosh. What was I going to say? Yes. I want to, like, we'll have to figure out how to exchange, or actually no, through Renee. I'll tell him how many tickets you want, and come out. I'd love to see you guys.
Awesome. Yeah, for sure. They would love to meet you, you know, especially too. So that'd be really cool. I'll make that happen. And then, you know, you guys dropped an EP. God is Dead is the title.
Yep.
I wanted to talk a little bit about that, because it's like, I'm curious about like the inspiration, not just behind the name of the title for you, but like the, also, you know, the song.
Yeah. Yeah. So this music kind of came, I created all this during the pandemic, and it sort of was birthed from, you know, question, like, I feel like at that point, no matter what you believe in, if you believe in a denomination of some sort or a higher power or nothing, like at some point during the pandemic, like I think everyone questioned, like, where is God right now? Like, what if there is a God, like what is what is actually happening? Cause this is just insane. And, you know, so that sort of narrative evolved into like a post-apocalyptic kind of story that I wrote, which is what God is Dead is about. It's about like being in this like kind of wasteland, like post-apocalypse, and seeing on a sign that God is dead, but like, you know, even like hope in a hopeless world, basically, like, you know, banding together, even though we're the last ones left, kind of thing. So.
Yeah. And I saw the music video for that as well. And I liked the imagery of you kind of like, I guess, you know, was that like you shedding kind of like a darker self, or, you know, like what was the story being told in the music video?
Yeah. So, me, the character, I'm running from this monster through the desert and through these kind of like barren wastelands, and I'm running. And in the end, you see that the monster was actually me. I'm running from myself, but as we know that you can't, that's not so easy to escape from. So I end up dying. That's the ending.
Yeah. And, you know, like, as I've learned, you know, with so many of my friends in recovery and stuff, it's like, we always try all these, like, what the hell's the term for it? You know, like location. If we think if we change locations, life will be better, you know, things will get better for us. And we keep changing locations, but it's like, no matter where we are, there we are, you know?
Exactly. And
it's like, until we like start doing the self-assessments and dig into the roots of, you know, what our issues are, you know, no matter where we go, we're bringing it with us.
Absolutely. You know?
So I like the imagery behind that, that video, and, you know, just gave me a lot to think about too, self-reflecting.
Yeah.
And then like the rest of the EP, like what is there like a certain message or story you're trying to tell throughout the whole album?
Yeah. So it's really a concept album. The first of many I want to make on this subject, but it touches on sort of what, you know, the juxtaposition of like the old American dream, like of the 50s where everything was picture perfect and, you know, like white picket fences and like Leave It to Beaver family and what the American dream looks like now and how, you know, the darkness, how it's tarnished and what my generation, you know, carrying the torch from the past, what that looks like for my generation now. And so each song is kind of about this like faded, like dark, has this like dark Americana vibe to it of, each thing is like its own kind of story narrative in that realm.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up around that Leave It to Beaver stuff, and it's that we've definitely gone quite a far way from that. But I liked, like the one image too, I was getting was like, kind of like how, like, you know, since you've moved out to LA and living in Hollywood and the lives that you've experienced, it's kind of like, you know, they say like Hollywood feeds off the blood of children and the innocence, you know, and stuff. And you know, almost like you're sharing kind of a personal experience in your writing on how much of yourself may have been affected processing this whole life change.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it as well. It's a culture, you know, no matter where you come from in the world, you can have the highest highs and the lowest lows here. There's so much darkness and there's such a dark underbelly, but there's also, you know, there's an amazing side as well. And it's just like, you just have to be very careful to kind of walk that straight and narrow and keep your sanity essentially.
Well, I liked what I was reading. And I think it was in the one bio that Ed sent me too, was like, you know, you're driving through the hills, you know, and you know, of all like the dark stuff that you witness kind of there and the energy sometimes that you feel, but that you'll pass by, like, I think there was like this neon cross or something up in the hill, and you're like, what is, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of inspired, I guess, the whole EP, God Is Dead.
Yeah. That was definitely a huge visual, like inspiration for the whole thing. Definitely. Because, yeah, every day back and forth to sessions, I would drive over that hill and, you know, some days were good, some days were bad. And just seeing that, I was like, man, it's such an ironic place for this to be, looking over such a city with just such like corruption, you know, but maybe that's why it's there. No, I'm just kidding.
Or maybe it's just that, you know, when you're leaving and you're fully like drained, like you said, on those bad days, maybe it's the glimmer of hope or something. I don't know.
You know what? I like that a lot. And I that's a great way to look at it. And I think you're right. I want to stick with that explanation. I really
like a life preserver, you know, floating there for to grab onto, like, man, I'm drowning in all this shit down here. And like, pull me out, you know?
Exactly. Stay strong. Don't give up.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta be in this environment. And, you know, I kind of caught that from you through our short interaction when you were here, that, you know, you're pretty tough and badass and you can, you know, handle yourself. But it's got to be, you know, everybody's gets burned out and needs a recharge now and then, you know.
For sure. No, definitely.
And I'm sure you're taking in some preparation, getting ready for this hitting the road here, you know.
Yeah, getting ready for that. And it's Grammys weekend. Renee's in town, so it's, you know, just total insanity as always. Running all over the place. But
are you gonna get a chance to connect with him while he's in town?
Yeah, I saw him last night actually, at his company had a Grammy event, so I went to that and it was cool.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, hopefully I'll be seeing him tonight via Zoom later.
But, nice.
You know, definitely look forward to talking to him.
Yeah.
Another song that stuck out on the EP that I wanted to ask you about, like, because I was reading a little bit about your story, but I like the audience to hear a little bit more on the song Porn Star.
Yeah.
The inspiration behind that and the message you're trying to send.
Yeah, so that's one of the key, when I, you know, talk about this like dark American dream vibe, like that song is kind of the main, what do you call it, anchor for the whole EP. And I love writing songs like movies, like where you can, you know, there's the sensory aspect, you can see, taste, touch everything that's going on. And those are my favorite kind of songs that I love listening to and writing, is like where you just feel like you're in the moment, in that, whatever that scene is. And I really wanted to do that with this kind of like dark Americana concept that we were talking about, like dark American dream, like and like kind of flip it on its head and do something kind of outlandish in that sense. And it, you know, I love shows like American Horror Story, and you know, I love horror movies, and I love true crime. And so I wanted to really write something that captured like the grit and the both the darkness and the light of like middle America, like its own movie, basically. Like, I was like, if Quentin Tarantino was going to write a song, what would it sound like? And then that's kind of how that song came to life.
Yeah, I kind of like, you know, I mean, I'm old school. Like, I remember getting the albums and just sitting and just going on a journey, you know, with my imagination, the lyrics that kind of take you on a trip, on a story. And I catch that with your writing style, which I definitely enjoy. It seems like, you know, the industry is more geared towards singles and like streams and stuff like that. But, you know, there's some singles out there I enjoy, and, you know, for that short, like dopamine fix or whatever, but I'm still more old school, where it's like, I like going on a concept story, you know, and sitting there and listening to the whole album, you know? So I'm glad that you're still writing that way.
Yeah. You know? No, I agree. I love that. I think that needs to be, and I agree, like that's gotten lost in the world of, you know, singles and Spotify and that kind of thing. So I love kind of bringing that back, you know.
Yeah, good. Hopefully you'll inspire others and continue that.
Yeah. Now,
you mentioned like horror movies. I'm a big horror movie fan as well. I like going to some of the conventions and meeting some of the you know, the people that played in movies and stuff. But is there a certain horror movie that's like one of your top ones?
Oh my gosh. I love, this is sort of a recent one, but The Terrifier. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I saw the original. I haven't seen the second one yet.
The second one was amazing. Usually the sequels aren't like the greatest, but it was awesome. I would definitely recommend checking it out.
Yeah, I've heard people talking about it, and I've even heard like interviews with Dante, I think was his name, or the guy that the creator, I forget what his name is, but how he talked about like putting the original together, and, you know, didn't have a lot of backing, and, you know, it was kind of like, but then it caught on as like a cult, you know, favorite. And then he was able to get more financing for what he really wanted to visualize is what came out with the second one. So I definitely have to check it out.
Yeah, definitely. He's brilliant. Like, he did all the makeup, all the effect. I mean, he's that director he's brilliant. So
who knows? Maybe there's a collaboration down the line for one of your music videos and him directing it.
You know? I would die for that. That would be amazing.
or from what I hear, there's probably going to be a Terrifier 3. You know, maybe you get a cameo in that as well.
Yes. Oh my God.
You know, we're putting that out right now, putting that out to the universe. Make that happen. Yes. Renee knows everybody anyway. He probably knows this dude. So just got to call him, you know, make it happen. So yeah, excited. You're going to be here in Cleveland this coming next Friday, February 10th at the MGM Northfield Park opening in support of Bush. So people need to get out and check you guys out on this tour.
Yeah. And,
like, what other kind of stuff do you have in the works going forward for 2023?
So working on new music. I've been going back and forth to Nashville a lot and working on stuff out there. And hopefully releasing an album and more touring and a lot of great stuff in the works. So it's going to be an exciting year.
And then while you're on this tour, you bring in a notepad so you can, you know, study under the learning tree of Gavin Rosdale and the rest of Bush. Yeah.
Definitely. Ask him to give me some advice.
He's nice. So. Well, yeah, hopefully we'll connect then next Friday when you guys are here in Cleveland. You know, I'll get to introduce you to my girls, you know.
Definitely. I look forward. I'll remind Renee. I'll ask him to just put us all in like a group chat or something and we'll set it all up.
Yeah. I'll shoot him a text or something too when I get off of here. But another one I wanted to ask you, you know, we were talking about the songs on the EP, and this is usually a tough question for artists to answer because it's like picking your favorite child. But is there one in particular that's like your favorite to perform live or you're looking forward to performing live for a crowd on this tour?
God Is Dead is really fun to perform live. So I'm really excited. That's probably the one I'm most excited to play live.
I think you played that at the Beachland too. And it was like one of the first times you guys played it live.
Yeah. So,
yeah. It did have,
Yeah.
It did catch, you know, good with the crowd and stuff. So looking forward to hearing that. That is again as well, you know, in a bigger venue and everything with you guys.
Definitely. That was so fun. Yeah, I can't wait. It's gonna be great.
Nice. And then I wanted to ask you some of the questions that I normally ask guests that I have on. We talked a little bit about some of your inspirations earlier, but who are your top three musical artists?
Nine Inch Nails, Johnny Cash, and Dolly Parton.
Nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I just remembered too how excited you were to get your picture in front of Johnny Cash's tour bus when we were at the Rock Hall.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that was. I had no idea that that was there. I was like so excited by that.
Yeah, so I should have caught on that Johnny Cash was one of them, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So you're the woman in black now going out there in the
big shoes.
Exactly. And then is there a particular song that you feel has inspired you in life? Like, you know, we talked about some of the good days and the bad days. Is there something that's a regular in your playlist that you will play that picks you up?
Yeah, I mean, even though the subject matter is super dark, Bonesaw for some reason is like the melody and the rhythm and the instrumentation, like it's presented in a really digestible kind of fun way that it I play it sometimes just to, it's like a good pick me up, I think.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then here's a question that I like asking people. I get all kinds of wild answers, but what class do you feel should be mandatory before graduating high school today?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Hey, baby, this is Double D, also known as Dream Daddy. And I gotta tell y'all something about our new sponsorship here at Today's Boondoggle. And the name is Dream Nutrition. So if you're looking to empower your human vitality, well, then you come to the right place. With over 12 years of combined experience in cannabinoids and terpene products, Dream Nutrition products include CBD oils, patches, proteins, and so much more. The endocannabinoid system is believed to have involvement in regulating physiological and cognitive processes, including the immune system, appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and in mediating the pharmacological effects of cannabis. Support this veteran-owned and operated company today, and today's Boondoggle fans will receive 10% off their orders when using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. That's BOONDOG10 at checkout. So go to the link. That's dreamnutrition.com/discount/boondog10. And remember, dream is not spelled like Dream Daddy. It's spelled DREEM. And start saving today because you deserve to feel your best. And you know that's right. So tell them Dream Daddy and your friends from Today's Boondoggle sent you.
I would say not necessarily a class, but there's so much in history and, history classes that's like omitted that is very important for people to know these days for like the young kids coming up in this world. So I'd say like less censorship with some of the stuff that happened in history and more, more inclusivity with that stuff, I think.
No, I agree. It seems like so much stuff is just kind of being erased and canceled. And it's like, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it, and we as a people definitely need to, we've come a long way and it's like, we don't want to go backwards, So
we need it all.
We got to know about all the ugly stuff too,
I agree.
Avoid going back there.
Yeah.
And then who are three people who've inspired you or you can credit for making you the person you are today?
My mom and my dad, of course, they're amazing people. And it's so hard to pick, but my grandmothers, both of them as well, on both sides.
Nice. And then, are there any causes or organizations that you support and encourage others to check out?
Yes. Feeding America is one that I support, and I always like. That's one of my favorites. Red Cross, obviously, and then there's a few like LGBTQ charities that I really support as well. I'm like blanking on names, but it's funny. I just put together a list of like five or six of these that I was like, yeah, but. All of that.
Nice. And then, this is another favorite I like asking because it takes everybody back, childhood, but do you remember your favorite toy as a child?
Oh my gosh. Anything to do with horses. I loved horses. So now that makes sense. I guess it all adds up, but like horse figurines and stuff.
Were you like a My Little Pony girl and stuff too?
Yeah, all that stuff. And anything like cowboy inspired or like Wild West, like I loved all that stuff as a kid.
Yeah, because grew up in Arizona or whatever, right?
Yeah.
What was that? That's what I wanted to ask earlier, too. I forgot. But what was that music scene like there before coming out to, you know, L.A.?
There's a really dark music scene in Arizona. The music scene is great out there. Like, shockingly, you would never suspect that. But there's so many people just like me that you know, went to there's amazing shows, amazing underground shows. Emo, rock, industrial, like there's a really great scene out there for all of it.
Nice. And what area was it in particular that you?
So I grew up in Cave Creek, but Phoenix and Scottsdale were the areas that had like the shows and stuff. So
okay, nice. And then any message you have for our military members that are currently serving overseas?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for your service. You guys keep us safe. So grateful for you guys. And on days that are not as bright as others, just hold on. It will get better. And thank you so much for your service.
Awesome. And then for, you know, our audience that maybe, you know, hearing about you for the first time or new and want to check out more of, the project of Devora and what you're up to, where would you send them?
I would say Instagram. So my Instagram handle is Devora Music XO, or my website, www.devoramusic.com.
Nice. Nice. Well, hey, you know, it was good catching up with you and,
look forward to seeing you in Cleveland.
Yeah, for sure. We'll definitely make that happen. Introduction to my girls and everything. But yeah. Before I let you go, you mind doing one last favor for me?
Of course.
By cutting a promo ID for the show, just introduce yourself and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Absolutely. Hey, this is Devora and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It was good catching up with you. And yeah, we'll catch up next week.
Awesome. Looking forward. Thank you so much. So good to see you again.
This is the end, and God is dead. We're the last one. VFW story brought to you by Today's Boondoggle.
And then there was Commander Wise, the one that had to draw the mustache.
Yeah, on. Couldn't grow a mustache.
We were going down, and okay, we're going to have alcoholic beverages on the plane. I go to the stewardess and said, check his ID. So she checks his, she goes up, sir, can I see your ID? Bring it on, you son of a bitch. Okay, okay, sir, I stand it. So we get to Little Creek, we're doing a, we're at Desert Cove. We did a landing. And Manny Vitell comes up and starts talking to us. And Wise is on the boat. Wise comes walking down. I think Al, myself, I think maybe you were down on the shore. Yeah. We're talking with Manny about, you know, the sand crab and what's going to happen to Saturday. And Wise comes down and goes, afternoon, sir. Manny goes, yeah, what's going on? He goes, well, I just want to let you know, I'm going to be the OIC of the Cleveland Debt when we come down in October for sand crab. What should I bring? Manny looks at him and goes, maybe you can grow a mustache before then. No, I didn't say a word.
Bring a mustache.
I didn't say a word. Wise turned to and right back up in that A-boat and never got off again.
I remember him and that one guy, that one officer that was kind of...
Cendric?
No. Maybe it was Cendric. I don't remember his name.
Cendric was that big, tall, skinny
guy. Yeah, and those two got in an argument in the garage, man. Yeah. I thought they were going to go to fists.
Yeah.
And well,
can I talk to you outside, away from the men?
No.
Well, they made oil. They made Wise the oil king. Remember?
Yeah.
And he took that to heart.
I'm gonna
keep this log, and we're gonna make sure these 8 points.
I remember we had to do
our oil's gonna be the slickest,
and we had to check the viscosity and all this shit with the balls and this shit. And he goes, Medvig, he says, you know how to do this? I said, well, it's been a long time, man. I said, I done it when I was in the oil shack on the Coral Sea. He goes,
I knew the Coral Sea would get.
He goes, well, could you show me how you do it? I said, I don't know if I remember how to do it. Anyway, you had to get three vials of different oil. One was brand new oil, and then one was the one that stayed there.
Right.
And then the other one was the oil from the engine. And they had these, like, three balls on rods, and you had to drop them. You hit this lever, and it would drop.
It was the most useless test known to man.
And it was like... All you had to do is just pour it out and tell which one come out fastest. That'll tell you if you had
something. You'd be better off tasting it.
That's
the old one.
And I remember he was so excited about doing that. I'm like,
smell it, taste it.
You know.
Yeah, Wise was awesome.
And thank you for listening to another story time from the VFW Hall, brought to you by Today's Boondoggle.
Thank you for listening once again to today's Boondoggle Radio Show. Please be sure to check out our website, domaincle.com or todaysboondoggle.com, for more shows and check out our archives. Follow us on social media at Today's Boondoggle on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter for more information about this podcast. And please support us on www.anchor.fm/todaysboondoggle, as well as on our GoFundMe and Venmo. Be sure to subscribe, comment, download, and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, and all the other podcast platforms out there. Please email us with any questions, suggestions, and comments via todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. Leave us some 5-star reviews and help spread the word. Thanks again for listening.
thank you for tuning into this week's Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news and information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for supporting, sharing, and tuning into Today's Boondoggle.